It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Hello, everyone. Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen. How are you on this fine day, the 22nd day of June, the 173rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar? Are you well? I do hope so. Sit back, close your eyes, and relax. Today, we're going to Taiwan. Earlier this week, I went to one of my favorite places in Paris, the Quai Branly-Jacques Chirac Museum. There's a new exhibit up called Paradise Palace, and it's all about something I knew nothing about, which is usually the case at Quai Branly, which is why I like it so much. Always something new. Anyway, Paradise Palace is about a Taiwanese custom of creating elaborate paper and bamboo objects, which are burnt at funerals as offerings. And these are not just any old paper and bamboo objects, though. Oh, no. As I said, they're incredibly elaborate. Astonishing works of art, really. And they're so beautiful, it's kind of sad to burn them. So, the objects. What are they? Ready? Very 21st century. Houses, complete with washing machines. Cars. Restaurants with eeny sushis. Airplanes. Luxury shoes and clothes. There are even high-tech things. iPhones, laptop computers. Told you it was very 21st century. A little surprising, no? Initially, I found the whole idea a little sad. Oh dear, we'll still have to have stuff in the afterlife? I always kind of think about paradise as the place where we'll all just be happy spirits floating about with absolutely no need for stuff. Finally. But it all depends on your idea of what the afterlife is, doesn't it? In the ancient Eastern religions, Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism, although one's not sure what the afterlife will be like, the imagining of it is that it will be just like this one, and that you'll need a house, you'll need a car, you'll need money. 21st century needs, like a smartphone, right? There was a group of young Taiwanese women at the entrance, and I stopped to talk to them, hoping they could help me to understand. They were very clear that for them, burning funeral offerings was cultural and not at all religious. I couldn't bring myself to ask something as possibly painful as, will you do it for your mother? But I did ask, is this something you will do or have done? They said yes. And eventually what they said was what they believed is that if one offers something beautiful to heaven, it is simply a beautiful thing to do. I can understand that. And finally, one of the women explained that the funeral offerings were truly a ritual for the living, as funerals are, really. She said, the deceased are happy, but we're sad, and this is the way we keep close to them. For example, every woman needs more than one pair of shoes, so why not get a model of the latest trendy shoes and offer it up, thinking of the person you lost, who loved shoes? This I can also understand. In fact, I lost a girlfriend not too long ago who loved shoes. Maybe I'll send a pair on over to Lonnie. So do you see now what this custom is about? When I think about it this way, it's nice, in fact, not sad. Just one of those loving things you do when you miss someone. This beautiful exhibit is curated by Julien Rousseau. He's the director of the Quai Branly Jacques Chirac Museum's Asia Department. I asked him if he had a favorite amongst the objects. He does. A fabulous house, but a traditional one. No washing machines. I'll let Julien Rousseau describe it for you.
So the house is he's lighted by many small lights with some there is two kind of paper, Taiwanese paper houses. It can be very modern, like an architect house, or it can also be more similar than a temple, more classic style. So this one is the classic house. Looks like a temple with dragons, a big gate, a golden gate, many details, iconography with some symbols of eternal life, enfin, longevity.
Yes.
The seasons: winter, summer, springs. Like the pins, also like classic iconography from paintings, which refers to immortality.
Those are the birds there.
Yeah, the crown.
Cranes.
Sorry.
Yes, cranes.
Pins. The pins, the tree. This kind of tree with represents the eternal life. And an interesting, all the details. Actually, it's the detail which are the more impressive. You can really enter the house to see inside, all the details. And usually, the house is supposed to have a small puppet of the owner of the house, and these puppets should have a total list of the objects that the family give to him. So all these burning objects are listed on this paper, like official document of property of the house and all his belongings in the afterlife. So that in case that some hungry ghost could steal his object and his belongings.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Julien Rousseau.
Thank you.
That was Julien Rousseau, the curator of the new exhibition at the Quai Branly Jacques Chirac Museum here in Paris. It's called Paradise Palace. If you find yourself in Paris anytime soon, go see it, and I'll go with you. You have until the 27th of October.
This is the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served.
to a distant bell and stars that fill like rain out of the blue. When my life is through and the angels ask me to recall the thrill of them all, then I shall tell them I remember you.
Did you like that singer? That was Diana Krall. She's a Canadian. And that song was I Remember You. Just seems right for today's little appetizer, which I hope got your appetite up and running because it's time for the main course, the quiz. On the 18th of May, I asked you a question about an article on our website by RFI English journalist Jan van der Made. Fine bit of investigative reporting. The article is called Fighting Communism and Making a Stack on the Side, and it's about the Chinese Falun Dafa meditation movement called the Falun Gong. I asked you to tell me the name of the man who founded the Falun Dafa meditation movement and the name of the city in the U.S. where the movement has its headquarters. The organization is outlawed in China. The answers are: the name of the founder of the movement is Li Hongzhi. The Falun Gong headquarters are in the U.S. in upstate New York. That town is called Quebecville. The winners of this week's quiz are RFI Listeners Club member Michael Cunningham from Brisbane, Australia. Michael Cunningham sent in a note with his quiz answer. He wrote, great documentary on Falun Gong. They have a fairly visible presence here in Brisbane. Apart from their theater productions, there are also billboard adverts and newspapers in English and Chinese. Their whole operation strikes me as a Mooney or Scientology scam, though I must admit I enjoy reading and hearing about these brainwashing groups. Fascinating that people are so gullible. I know, Michael, isn't it? Michael also wrote that he was looking forward to hearing me read the Falun Gong address on the air. True, it's an odd name, Quebecville, and no telling really how it is pronounced by the people who live there and how different that is from the way it was originally pronounced. In fact, it's a Dutch surname. The little town is named after the man who first owned the land, Colonel William Quebec. He was Dutch, like a lot of the first Europeans in America, especially in upstate New York. Pronouncing American names is tricky. The thing is, there really are no American names, aside from Sitting Bull or Pocahontas or other Native American names. So everyone pronounces their name the way they want. Americans are all immigrants, you know, aside from, as I said, the Native Americans, the American Indians. Our names are English, Dutch, French, Italian, German, Irish. Mine's Welsh. So with today's Americans, you have to ask, basically, how do I correctly mispronounce your name? But it's cool, in fact. I like it that there's no such thing as an American name. It's a good reminder of what my country's all about. Even though some people don't want to remember that, but that's a subject for another day. Now, if you all really want to laugh, listen to this. Tiruvananthapuram. Here it is again. Tiruvananthapuram. Everyone in Kerala State, India, is laughing right now, that's for sure. I bet my pronunciation isn't even close. Tiruvananthapuram is where Muhammad Shamim lives. Muhammad is the president of the RFI Golden Eagle Clubs in that fair city with the unpronounceable For Susan name. And he's a lucky winner this week. Hello, Muhammad. What you been cooking lately? Listeners, Muhammad Shamin loves to cook. One of his recipes is in the Sound Kitchen Cookbook. Hailing from Harjumaa, Estonia, there's RFI Club member Arna Tim, who can look for a package from RFI English in the mail, and so can Sirin Ara Kanam, who's a member of the Friends Radio Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh. Last but not least, there's Samia Arshad from the RFI PAC France International Listeners Club in Chichawatni, Pakistan. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. I have a question for you about Taiwan, or the Republic of China as it is officially known. The question is quite simple. What is the name of the president, and what is the name of the premier? Again, send in the name of Taiwan's president and the name of the premier. Yeah, that's too easy. Send in also the name of the island's capital. Got it? Three things. The name of Taiwan's president, the name of the premier, and the name of its capital city. You have until the 29th of July to get your answers in. Be sure to tune in on the 3rd of August to see if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address and, if you have one, your RFI Listeners Club membership number. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. You can also text your answer to the Sound Kitchen mobile phone. Dial +336 31 12 9682. That's +336 31 12 9682. Always include your postal mailing address and, if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
I am Daniel Buren and you are listening to The Sound Kitchen.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining me in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, emails, and text messages coming. Many thanks to our producing engineer, Erwan Rome, for putting the show together, and thanks to you for listening. A brief reminder before I go, we have a special phone number you can call to leave a message. It's hooked up to our sound editor so we can put you straight on the air. Call +331 84 22 95 82 and leave a message. Just say hello, give your name and your country, and say something short like, "I love RFI English," because of course you do. Got your pen? The number again is +331 84 22 95 82. I'll play you out with a piece of music I've chosen for my colleague Anne-Marie Besada. She's not only an ace reporter, she dances flamenco, that passionate, simmering Spanish gypsy dance form. I watched her last week in a performance, and she was wonderful. This is La Danza de la Molinera, the Miller's Wife's Dance, from The Three-Cornered Hat, a ballet written by Manuel de Falla. Olé! I'm Susan Owensby. Talk to you next week. We'll be right back.
Ba 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 ba.